Hello, 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 and welcome back. It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. That's right. You're on the air with Captain Quality, and this is My Two Cents. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And today we got a lot of cool topics we're going to discuss. We actually have a new guest coming on. She's trying out radio for the very first time. Really excited to have her on. But before we go into our topics, I wanted to do something new, and it's called Celebrity Birthdays. And the reason I thought about doing this is because just recently today I got a Facebook request for one of my old teachers. I don't want to use any names just for privacy reasons. One of my old teachers from high school, and she was my sophomore year, social studies. And I got a Facebook request from her, and it was just like super random. Like, you know, it's been 5 years since I was a sophomore in high school. And I get this little Facebook request, you know, thinking nothing of it. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you know, accept it. But I remember before every class I had her 3 days a week. And she always just, like, would read these. I don't know if she had an app or on her phone, or she just, like, would look it up herself. But she always read out celebrity birthdays just for fun. And she'd always say, guys, whoever's birthday it is, like, happy birthday. So September 28th, so whoever's a September 28th birthday, happy birthday to you. If you're listening on right now and it's your birthday, you're doing something right. So especially happy birthday to you. And I just thought it was cool, just kind of like, hey, like, I should do that for my show, because it's, like, Wednesday. Like, hey, like, my show's on tonight. Celebrity birthdays would be super dope. Yeah, it's just kind of neat to know which celebrities share your birthday. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, me, I've got, like, Diane Lane, but that's, like, I mean, celebrity-esque, you know. She's not super, super, super famous, but, I mean, I guess she was. It's whatever. But anyway, if it's your birthday today, you share the same birthday with Hilary Duff, Ed Sullivan, Young Jeezy, Tyler Lockett, Anderson Varejao, and Thomas Crapper. And actually, I got a funny story about Thomas Crapper. So, I grew up thinking that Thomas Crapper was, like, the inventor of the toilet. Because that's what everyone said, oh, yeah, because, like, that's where the word crap comes from, like, poop. And I'm like, okay, like, ever since I was, like, a little kid, I was like, oh, my God, like, Thomas Crapper, like, the toilet guy. And I remember a couple years ago, I was watching this episode of South Park, and they said, oh, yeah, the guy who invented the toilet's name was, you know, Thomas Harrington. And I'm like, is that, like, a South Park thing they're covering up? They thought Thomas Crapper would be too funny to talk about on a South Park, but, like, it made no sense to me. So I looked it up, and Thomas Crapper actually didn't invent the toilet. He invented, like, the flushing mechanism for the toilet, and I just, like, I was so baffled by that because I'd spent years thinking to myself, oh, my God, like, Thomas Crapper, like, it's hysterical. Toilet guy invented the toilet. His last name is Crapper. Like, that's where the little crap comes from. But, I mean, he did definitely, like, contribute to the overall, you know, creation of the modern toilet with its flushing mechanism. But aside from Thomas Crapper, I mean, Hilary Duff, super famous, old-school Disney star. She's doing her own thing now. Ed Sullivan, old-timey host, died back in 74. Young Jeezy the rapper, don't have a ton of information on him, not my cup of tea. Tyler Lockett, Seattle Seahawks receiver, super dope guy, watch him play. And Anderson Varejao, the center for right now it's for the Golden State Warriors, formerly the Cleveland Cavaliers, Captain Flop and Captain Cheap Shot. Not a big Anderson Varejao guy, but it's, you know, it's my own opinion, it's whatever. But yeah, those are who you share your birthdays with. It's September 28th, happy birthday to you. Appreciate it if you're listening on, if not, no worries. So for today's topics on My Two Cents, I know I'm sure everyone's been talking about it, especially even on Penguin Radio or just on anything you tune into, but the debate happened a couple of days ago, and the political debate, you know, we're electing a new president this year, and it's just hard to process. We've had 8 years of Barack Obama, which, I mean, I can't complain at all. We've had some pretty good 8 years, but now it's time, like, it's all setting in, like, hey, like, you know, come January, inauguration time, it's going to be Hillary or Donald Trump. And it's just time for us to kind of settle in, like, hey, like, it's almost November. It's October in, like, 4 days, and that's, like, a month and a half away from, like, when we elect our next president. So the debate's definitely a topic I felt like, yeah, like, we've been talking about it for a while, and it's definitely going to be a repetitive subject. And I'm sure whatever you tune into, like, if you tune into Twitter, tune into Facebook, tune into anything on the news, you're going to see stuff regardless about the debate. And, I mean, right now, this is no exception. Like, I just feel like it's too big of a deal to not talk about, regardless of how many times it's definitely been, you know, talked about via the radio, TV, social media, etc. But before we have the debate, we have a new TV show, Pitch, we'll all be discussing. And it's not so much a TV show review. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Pitch is a new TV show on Fox. It airs on Thursdays. And it's actually in association with Major League Baseball, the MLB. And it's about a young pitcher who adjusts to life in the spotlight after making history as the first woman to play, you know, Major League Baseball. And it's such, like, a big deal, and it's just this show, like, I mean, I've heard it can bring up controversy because, like, hey, it's the first, it's, like, a show basing off, like, a female playing, like, in, you know, the MLB, like, a men's, you know, baseball league. And they compare it to, like, hey, she's the Jackie Robinson for women. You know, Jackie Robinson, of course, first African American to play in the major league and MLB. And the show is definitely, like, they're saying, like, hey, can this show with this premise hold up and hold on its own, like, do really well? And if you watch the trailer or watch the pilot for the show, it's actually really well done. And because of the association with the MLB, you watch it, they have the same exact little, like, the broadcasting is the same as, like, you would watch an MLB game. When they zoom out and show a scene of her pitching the balls, it looks like, you know, you're watching an actual game. They have a little score thing on the bottom with, like, the pitch count and the team. Like, she's on, like, the Padres. And they show, like, okay, they have, like, the SD and the, whatever team they're playing. And it's just, it looks so perfect. And that's because Fox has that association with the MLB for this show. And so, like, that right there just kind of looks at it. Like, and I'm not even a big baseball guy. It's probably, like, one of my least favorite sports to watch by far. Not, like, poo-pooing on baseball at all. But, it's just, again, like, it's not the most exciting sport to watch. I was a big baseball player back when I was younger, but not a huge fan of watching it. But I see the show, and it's like, wow, it looks so official. It looks so cool. I definitely want to get into it. But then you look at it and say, hey, like, can the concept of a female playing in the MLB, you know, hold it on its own 2 feet? But we'll get back into that later. And last on our topics of conversation, we have Tim Tebow. And I thought, again, back in the – I mean, you'd think it's more of a football topic, but Tebow recently just got signed with the Mets, and we're going to go into that later because that's a quick, cool little topic I like to talk about as a big Tim Tebow guy. But right now we have our special guest, my good friend Olivia. She has been discussing radio with our instructor. She's a super neat person, super fun to talk to. She was actually in my original orientation group when I first came to Dominican last year. Huge, huge fun person to be around, really good attitude. And she's on the air with us right now. Olivia, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, I'm doing really, really well. It's a really nice night out. It's been hot, but, like, I mean, we deal with it. So, fun fact, so Olivia comes into class today. I just see her sitting there, and I see her giving my friend DJ Beefcake a big hug, and I'm like, who's that giving Beefcake a hug over there? Like, that should be me. And I'm like, that's, she's, I mean, me and Beefcake, are, you know, that's like our thing. And I look over, and it's Olivia, and I'm like, that's funny, Olivia's. She's not a comms person, not a radio person. So I'm a little concerned, like, what's she doing here? She's up to no good. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, let's see where this goes. So we sit there, you know, my instructor gets in there, he does his usual ordeal, and, you know, he's a cool guy, I like him. So he sits there and talks, and he goes, hey guys, like, Olivia's here, like, she's in my speech class, and she's gonna try out radio, even though she's not, you know, necessarily maybe part of the major or part of the class itself. And I looked at that, I'm like, you know what, yeah, she could definitely pull it off. I mean, I know she's a talker, I've talked to her before. I know that's one of her fortes. We've had business class together. Sure. I know her. So it's like, I'm like, that's super cool. So then my instructor says, hey, like, anyone want to, you know, show Olivia, put her on her show? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like, that'd be super dope. Like, super, I mean, gee, I'm sure we could talk about back and forth for the whole hour if we had to, honestly. But it's to each his own. It's not a big deal. But I'm just glad to have her on. So Olivia, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. And so I'm going to brief the audience and just kind of who you are. So I'm not going to ask you too many vague questions, but, like, again, I'm sure you'd knock them out of the park regardless. But so right now you go to Dominican, you are a sophomore, and just tell us about, like, I mean, what are you studying right now in terms of, like, academics?
I am a political science and international studies major, and it's incredible. I love talking about politics. I love what's going on right now.
Can you say it again for me?
Majors? I'm a political science major.
Poli-sci.
And international studies.
So is that, like, part of business, though, or is that...
No, it's all in the poli-sci department.
So you're not business anymore?
No, I dropped business because I wanted to study abroad for a whole year.
A whole year?
And the business department...
Really?
Yeah.
It's like two separate countries, like one country for the whole year?
No, I'm going to be in one country for the whole year. And the business department is so rigid.
Yeah.
And there's so many courses you need to take. And it just impaired me from going away a whole year and immersing myself completely in a culture.
So you have the double major going on right now.
I do.
Minors, yay or nay?
Spanish.
Just Spanish?
Just Spanish.
Don't you already speak Spanish?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's okay. So I was going to, okay, that's, I mean, that's, like, again, like, I'm not saying I wouldn't do that if I spoke fluent Spanish. I'm sure, like, it's like, I mean, yeah, I mean, good for you. That's definitely pretty smart to do. But yeah, I think it's funny. It's very you know, Captain Quality-esque move to do. But I love it. So you got the two majors. So I'm actually glad. I honestly did not know you. I still thought you were the business. But regardless, I'm glad you're doing the poli-sci and the international relations, because that's just, we can lead into this whole debate talk like it's nothing, like really simple, like what, like just really easy. So I'm sure, I'm not going to assume anything, but did you yourself watch the debate this past Monday?
I did watch the debate multiple times.
Really? So did you record it at home or just like?
I had work, and then I ran to my room afterwards and watched it twice and just tried to wrap my head around the issues that were spoken.
So before we get into that really quick, now on campus, I know there's a lot of like groups that, you know, are associated with, like we have the college debate here. Now, what are you,
I
are
was
you
part, a part of that?
You were, I was just going to ask, were you a part of that, like, you know, college debate, this DU debate 16?
Yes, now, I was.
Talk about, like, do you mind talking about your involvement in that at all?
No, it was, honestly, I didn't even sign up for it just
because
I have so much on my plate with work and
no, of course, yeah.
trying to figure out where I'm going to go abroad and political science club. And
that's a great, didn't mean to interrupt
no,
at
no,
all.
No, go for it.
Back up, political science club, that's a thing on campus.
Yeah.
So you're doing that. And on top of everything else, with the political science major and the double major, and they asked you to do this. So I'm assuming someone asked you to do DU debate.
Yes, and I'm also in the lecture series on campus. I'm
oh my
involved
gosh.
A lot.
Okay, so you were definitely, this is right up your alley then, for sure.
Yeah.
I love it.
But when it came to the college debate, Professor Gocek sent me an email, and she said, you would be perfect for this.
Really
and
cool.
And
sure
I
that's
told
great
her,
to hear, yeah.
I told her, I don't think I can put... make it work in my schedule. And she told me, you'll be fine. Just go for it. And I was a part of it. And it's good because I got out of classes. Sorry, Stu.
I love it.
But it was awesome to be a part of and learn about all these different students from different parts of the country and the schools they go to.
Now, I attended the debate and I saw, like, now, was there actually a student from every state?
Because
they claimed that. I mean, again, like, there was a bunch of students there, so
there
I'm sure
were,
there was.
There were 150 students.
Okay, yeah,
they tried to
yeah.
get students from every state, but there were a couple states missing. But what was interesting about it was all these kids from public schools, from private schools, coming together and talking about their perspectives. I didn't agree with all of their perspectives.
No, I mean, you're not always. That's the whole point,
yeah.
though, of course, I'm sure.
And
like,
when
that's
we,
gonna happen.
Behind closed doors, when we were debating, we were there for hours discussing income inequality, education, immigration, foreign policy, environment, everything you can imagine.
Right on. Oh, that's insane. Because I remember going in there and I'm a huge politics guy, but I was really intrigued by what I saw. And just, I think it's really cool how they have those different students from different parts of the country all just kind of come together here, like, you know, little San Rafael, little Dominican University. So it's kind of neat. So getting back to, so you do all this political stuff. I love it. You're really into it. I'm glad. It kind of just works out for me perfectly. I kind of hit the water right now, actually. So you watched the debate, and we're gonna talk about that right now. But like, so you're really quick though. Your opinion. You're kind of like, what did you think of it?
It was between a circus, désolé, and a play all mixed together.
Oh my gosh!
Just because. It's funny, though. This morning, I went to my research methods class, and I was talking to my professor, and she mentioned, well, we were speaking about it, and I mentioned to her how Trump says that he will probably not be part of any other debates because Hillary Clinton was interrupting him the whole time.
This is after the debate. He said that.
Yeah, he said that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, because I know, like, I mean, again, not that I'm picking sides, but I know, like, Trump's definitely the... I guess he's playing the villain role here, so to speak.
Yeah.
With everyone. So that's kind of funny that he mentioned that he kind of says that.
Especially after he said that the Los Angeles airport is a third world country.
I heard that literally before I got here. My roommate was watching Any Given Sunday with Bill Simmons, and that actually came up. And he said, you know, LAX, and like, I think he said JFK.
JFK also.
And I think it was, the third one might have been O'Hare in Chicago. And... he's like, yeah, these airports compared to other countries' airports, because he's compared to the Dubai airport. He's like, yeah, the third world countries. And I'm like, dude, I mean, LA, I mean, I'm an LA native. I'm like, LAX is one of the like most popular, like, again, like not like it's a luxury airport. It's like, it's an airport. They're not going to be luxury. It's not a hotel. But like, it's one of the nicer airports I've definitely been to. And like, for you to compare it to a third world country, it was just one of the most absurd statements I've ever heard. And again, not taking offense because it's like an LA thing, just like, dude, you picked like three of the bigger airports in our entire country to like poo-poo on.
Exactly. San Francisco and the LA airport to me is luxury every time I travel
back home to
Cuba. Cuba airport is two gates and that's it.
Really? Yeah.
With no AC, super hot.
That's so fun. I used to travel back and forth to Maine where I used to live. And not that the Portland airport is bad at all, but it's small.
Yeah.
And like it's funny that he picked three of the biggest international airports in our entire country to like just like rag on. It was so funny to me that he brought that up.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Now, if you want to talk about your personal like candidate, you can. I'm not going to force that out of you. But when – so right now, I'm sure you're all over social media, as most people, you know, are, honestly, like, of all ages, not even just our generation. And do you feel like social media plays, like, a negative role in how we view our candidates? Because, again, not saying that Donald Trump is the greatest guy, but there's definitely a ton of bias, negative bias towards him specifically, more so than I feel like other candidates, including even last year when he first decided to run. Again, not saying that I agree with anything he says, most of the stuff he says at all. But there's definitely, I feel like, just because of social media, they'll say, hey, like, this guy's hairpiece is so bad, like, don't go for him. Or, like, hey, like, there's this one really famous picture of Donald Trump where he's, like, face back, like, squinted. He's got, like, a finger up in the air. He looks like a beaver, kind of. And like, that picture, and I'm sure everyone's seen this picture, and it's just, it's so funny. But, like, it's not like he posed for that picture. That's definitely, like, a close. Like, he was in a movement, and, like, they caught that screenshot. And that picture's everywhere. And it's everywhere. And they say, hey, like, you're voting for this guy. Like, it's just, they show that picture of all pictures. And so do you think, like, this, again, whether, like, do you think this social media, like, has some sort of negative effect on the way we view politics? And, like, it just kind of, like, shadows what we really need to pay attention on.
I think social media pushes the subject in the sense that there are things we miss and we don't pay attention to. And someone will pick it up and say, oh, there it is. We missed that. And the thing is that there are points where social media doesn't focus on the actual issues and it just focuses on the candidates and not what they're talking about, but their persona, the way they dress or their hair.
Exactly, yeah.
For instance.
Okay, of course.
And I think at times that takes away from the issues at hand. But then again, like everything, social media is a part of our society, and no matter what, it's going to be there and it's going to play a part in the debate. For instance, I was on Instagram, and Hillary Clinton's ad, one of her many ads, just shows 13, 14, 16-year-old girls. And between every girl, there's a clip of Donald Trump saying they're fat, they're ugly.
Because Donald Trump, again, he made some comments saying...
Like, about
no,
women.
No fat chicks or something of that sort.
Yeah, he made a lot of comments about women. And Hillary Clinton, of course, used it in her ad because she wants to win. And Donald Trump recently stated that Hillary Clinton's making him look like the bad guy. And it was just interesting. And same thing goes for him. His political ads are also very, like, hatred-aimed. And I think that now the ads are not even about the politics that matter. Even the candidates themselves are turning it into a media frenzy.
So it's like, how can one candidate make the other one look worse than them?
Exactly.
At this point in time, like, hey, like, this week it was, you know, hey, like, let's make Hillary look bad or vice versa.
So it's a popularity contest.
Okay, for sure. And, like, I was, again, like, back when I was watching Any Given Wednesday, Bill Simmons brought up a really good point, I thought. He's, like, so I remember, like, 3 or 4 years ago, we're in the middle of Obama's second term, and online I see this thing where Kanye tweets out, hey, like, you know, Kanye West, you know, 2020 president or something absurd, like, I'm going to be president in 2020, I'm running. And I thought to myself, I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, why would we fall into that? Like, that's so, like,
yeah,
dumb.
Let's put Kim Kardashian in the White House.
No, exactly. That's what I thought that, but then, like, he brought it, Bill Simmons brought it up today, and he said, like, hey, like, well, look at what Donald Trump's doing. Like, this is what it's come to, like, a guy, because of whether or not his popularity is positive or negative, it's popularity. And he, I mean, right now, he's right there. He's on the cusp of, like, becoming our next president. Not that I think personally he'll get it. But he's right there. Like, he's up top, like, top two. Like, he's him or Hillary. It's 50-50. And it's like, and then he talks about, it's like, he's like, okay, like, well, now what's so absurd about Kanye doing it? Like, what would have happened if Kanye West would have run for president? And, like, oh, it's a popularity contest, and Kanye West, one of the biggest names in the entire planet. Like, how, it's just, like, it gets more and more absurd, in my opinion, that it, like, because of the social, I feel like social media plays a big role in that, because, like, we look at that and say, like, oh, like, Kanye West, like, let's do that. And it's like, three, four years ago when I saw that, it just didn't cross my mind that would be a possibility. And now I see that we live in this world where, hey, it's like, you know, Donald Trump's right there on the cusp of being president. It's like, what's stopping Kanye West from trying to run for president and possibly? It's like, not that I'm for that, but, like, it doesn't seem as absurd anymore.
It's just popularity. It's gone away from the issues that matter, education, civil rights, everything that matters has just gone out the window, and it's just about who's most popular, who are you going to put in the White House next. It's not even a substantial place that we can say, okay, this is where the nation's politics are being created. it's just become a circus and a play all mixed together. And I think that it's interesting because even the people of this nation are getting caught up in that.
I think you're definitely right, for sure.
And it's just a matter of when are the issues going to be important again? And when we do go out to vote November 8th, please, everyone, go vote. Even if you think it doesn't matter, it matters. Please do it. It's just going to show us what the people in our nation are actually thinking about. And hopefully, whoever gets elected, they do what they're supposed to do in that house. And they listen to the people and focus on issues that matter to the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, and even the 40s, well, 50s, even,
yeah,
and 60s.
Like, even like parents' age, like, yeah, my parents' age around, like, yeah, late 40s, early 50s. But, like, yeah. I mean, it's not like they're not going to be living in this country while this president's elected. They say, oh, it's the youth thing. But, like, I mean, you guys are still alive for a substantial amount of years. Like, this is going to affect you just as much as it affects us. Like,
yeah, it affects everyone.
Exactly. It's not like, hey, like, oh, so this is going to affect, you know, like, the you know, millennials, the 20-year-olds right now. It's going to affect pretty much everyone. And I feel like a lot of people are saying, hey, like, it's the youth, the youth that's going to step it up. And not that that's wrong, but, like, you still got to figure out, hey, like, you're 40, 50 years old, but this is still going to, like, impact you just as much.
Yeah, I think that the youth involvement is important just because we are the millennials. We are social media.
No, of course. That's us. Like, we've brought that on ourselves. Like,
exactly.
We own it.
And the funny thing about this debate is that it had 200 million viewers on YouTube live stream.
Really?
That is the largest amount of viewers that there has ever been, and that is crazy to think about.
In any debate, that's been the largest
amount. In any debate, that has been the largest amount.
I didn't even know YouTube live stream was that popular at all.
Google bought YouTube.
Okay.
So I guess that...
No, I mean, it's cool to hear that. That's the biggest turnout. Like, 200 million, that's insane. Like, that's...
Live stream on YouTube. And just YouTube, not including just, like
people watching at home or something.
Exactly.
You know, people watching on, like, you know, the TV. Like, that's... Or, like, on some other website or something. Well, that actually... I did not know that number personally, but that honestly baffles me. And then not baffles, but, like, that's, like, a huge deal. Like, so, but, like, of that, I'm sure, like, how many of them were youth? I'm sure a lot were. But of that number, how many of them do you think were going out to possibly, you know, vote and make a difference? And again, not trying to sound like a hypocrite at all, but I'm just sure, I mean, that number itself does impress me. I'm glad you actually brought that up. But the other day I was on, a colleague of mine, DJ Beefcake's show, you know, Where's the Beef? And I discussed a lot of, you know, politics with on her show, and she definitely put me on the spot. And it was really cool to hear. It was really cool. I enjoyed it. But now she's actually going to come back on my show. But, you know, dear good friend of mine, we always go back. Me and her have a really good back and forth, and we appreciate it. So she's on right now. DJ Beefcake, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, as you always know.
As I know.
So, like, you've been hearing me and Olivia talk about, you know, this whole debate thing. And again, I came on your show yesterday. Also, guys, tune to Where's the Beef from 3 to 4 on Tuesdays.
Thank you.
But, so you heard me. I mean, I did my little, I said my piece on your show, and I'm glad to have you on mine. Just with Olivia also, just because we have this, like, really, like, three different perspectives on all of it. And yesterday we talked about, like, how we did bring up social media a little bit and how the importance of youth in our society needs to vote. But when you just heard this number, this 200 million vote, like, views on just YouTube live stream, and, like, what's your reaction to that, if you don't mind, like, just going into that?
Well, my reaction was, I was one of the youth. I would describe myself as one of the youth who, like, didn't care or didn't really,
really?
Give. Yeah, I really didn't care about the election. I was like, well, like, we're going, like, this is going to be bad either way, so why should I research it? So I thought, I didn't think much of it. And then when I decided to talk about it on my show, actually, I started doing research. And and then when we were talking about it the other day, I really realized that I need to vote. And I registered yesterday, actually, to
did
vote.
Did you really?
I really did.
I called
my family. I was like, but who are you guys voting for? I was like, Sean, like, my brother, he's, like, just turned 18. I was like, you got to register to vote. He's like, why? I was like, it's your civic duty. And I just went up on him, and I was used to be the person who, like, was saying, I'm not going to vote.
I'm still that person, honestly. Like, that's funny. I mean, I'm glad, because yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or Monday, they had the Dominican, like, register to vote day.
Yeah. That was yesterday. They had free cupcakes.
Right? Free cupcakes. And if you didn't register there, you can go on Dominican.turbovote.org. That's where I did it.
You can also go to Rock the Vote.
So that's two websites. Rock the Vote and
Dominican. turbovote.org.
Love it. So if you guys want to register to vote, I encourage it.
Definitely do it.
Super cool.
Please do.
Super cool. What really drove me to like register?
Yeah, if you talk about that, I'd love for you to talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, I was like, well, this isn't going to affect me, right? Wrong. Okay, so I'm going to be, the next 4 years, that is when I'm going to be starting my adulthood. That's when I'm going to be starting my life. And I don't want to have an effed up government when I'm just trying to like get out there in the world. And that's why I think it's very important for us to vote. For me, in my opinion, I think we should all vote for Hillary just so you don't vote for Trump. It's, my opinion, the lesser of two evils.
No, of course. You're allowed to have that opinion. I feel like, honestly, that's a lot of people's opinion at this point. And honestly, I was doing some research tonight on my own for this debate, about this debate and for my show. And I found a lot of, I found like some comedians like making fun of like Trump on it. And like, again, like everyone's familiar with Stephen Colbert, like, you know, The Late Show, Stephen Colbert, like Colbert Report. And I just saw this, a few comments he's making, and I'm sure they're funny, but it's like, it kind of feeds into that whole like social media bashing on like candidates based on what they're doing. And he says like, he makes fun of, you know, how Donald Trump was like sniffling throughout the entire debate. And like, that was even part of like the whole like drinking game, social media thing that everyone talked about, like how everyone drink every time Donald Trump sniffles. And Stephen Colbert said, you know, it sounds like he's fighting off a cold with cocaine. Like, it was just like this funny little comment. I'm like, dude, that's pretty funny. But it's like, I mean, would you have said, I mean, are you making these comments, you know, 8 years ago when, you know, Obama and McCain were doing their debates? And
it was, but you know, sorry for interrupting. Oh, yeah, you're good. You know what's funny about that, though?
Yeah, go for it.
That's what he got out of the debate, but he never, well, clearly he didn't, talk about how Donald Trump went bankrupt three times, I think it was two or three times, and no one caught that. No one is talking about that.
I've heard that ever since he started running last year. That's one of the first things I heard brought up.
But yeah, I didn't know that.
Really?
This is the first time I'm hearing
it. He's a big business guy, but yeah, he's definitely hit the bankruptcy chart, you know, multiple times throughout his life. And he's, again, people say, oh, he's bounced back from it, but he's also been, you know, bailed out.
Yeah. And
how do you get there in the first place?
That's exactly.
Well, he came for bankruptcy or for wealth?
No, I'm saying, how did you get into that situation in the first place?
And exactly.
You three times, like one's a mistake, two, okay, three, you should have learned your lesson by now.
Exactly, but yeah, what's funny about that, though, is that during the debate, Clinton said, you know that architecture that you kind of screwed over? Well, he's sitting in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And
really?
And Donald Trump just brushed it off and kept going. And it's funny because people aren't seeing that. They just see, oh, he's a businessman. He can get rid of the debt. Like, minimum wage is going to increase, but what they don't see is that when someone as wealthy as Trump goes bankrupt, all the little people get hurt in the process because they don't get paid, they don't get this, they don't get that. And I don't think that's seen by the people. And then again, I saw on Instagram that someone said when Trump had a drink of water, they said, oh, he drinks his vodka clean.
Oh my god,
that's so funny. That's true. I mean, I don't know what they keep in those cups. Honestly, it's like the whole. it's like the Paula Abdul American Idol circa 2006 deal when no one knew it was in her, you know, little Coke bottle.
I find it super interesting how he brushes off probably some of the points he should definitely address, specifically when I think Hillary Clinton brought up a point about Alicia Machado. I don't know if you heard her name, but she was the Miss Universe. She won Miss Universe in 1996, and apparently she gained some weight after that, and then Donald Trump started calling her Miss Piggy and like just talking about her weight, and she gained 60 pounds after she won.
60?
Yeah.
That's a lot, but yeah.
Yeah, but you're literally proving our point for us.
I'm not, it's a joke. Yeah, no, but. There's no.
No, but he literally.
There's no way to, I don't condone calling someone Miss Piggy.
But he forced her to work out, and he invited news like casters to watch her work out.
I'm sure she still looks great.
No, well, she looks great now, but she's actually campaigning for Hillary Clinton, which is actually super interesting. And then she brought him up in the debate, and because you know how you mentioned the ad campaign?
Yeah.
That she was part of that ad, and so she was part of the reason, like, those comments were directed at her when she was Miss Universe and she gained weight.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. So, and then she brought that up in the debate. Hillary brought that up in the debate, and Donald goes, where'd you get that information? That's irrelevant. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And he just brushed it off, where he probably should have addressed something like that, because that's you just disgraced half of like the women, like not all the women
but
in our country.
But a good portion of it.
Exactly.
It's like a human thing also.
Half the people in our
like,
country.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like not really, it's not socially, it's not something you do at all.
No, it's not like anyone's going up on stage and saying, hey, Donald Trump, what size is your pants, 35?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're bigger. 35 is not even that, like, 40-ish, yeah. Like 40,
I don't know,
40 but plus.
I don't know
no, yeah.
men's sizes.
No, yeah, they're definitely above 35, I'll tell you that. No, 30, yeah.
With a pH.
I mean, yeah, I feel like, yeah, someone of his, I mean, again, not, yeah, he's a pretty hefty guy.
For a guy who criticizes so many women on looks, he looks like a piece of trash.
He looks like those volleyballs we use on the court.
He looks just trash.
Oh my gosh, like I love it. No, I love it. It's funny. Like, it's all funny stuff.
Corn
to
dog.
Me.
Covered with some, like, cornbread hair.
Know.
Definitely, it's funny. Like, I'm
the word
it.
I
like,
would use to describe him is crusty.
No, because you two are women, and you're both in, like, relative, like, you're both in really good shape. Like, but like, it's still like, it's like the comments. It's still not fair to any woman to hear like those comments, or any person honestly to have comments said like that at them, especially and like for someone of his like, I mean, he's a pretty well known person, just for to make those kind of comments, especially when it's like, hey, this is someone who's trying to run for, you know, president, or like is in the process of it becoming president. So you didn't hear like, you know, Obama or even like George Bush like bashing anyone like even remotely close to what you see Donald Trump doing right now. That's just kind of the issue, like what people bring up, and it's like that's where the outrage, I feel like that's where a lot of the outrage comes from, like, hey, like this is the guy that's like almost our president.
Yeah,
that's like that shouldn't be like, that shouldn't happen.
The superficialness that he
exudes, that's the word, superficial.
Yeah, that he exudes in his comments and his tweets and what he says and what he believes in kind of describes how the media is covering it too, because they're covering like the superficial things about the election. When I mentioned this yesterday, when I looked on the Facebook trending the day after the debate, the first thing that was trending wasn't the actual debate itself. It was what Melania Trump?
Yeah, I think
yeah. Mm-hmm. What she wore. It was talking about her dress. Was the first thing
yeah,
that
was
trending
that
on Facebook.
Up. Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
Everything's materialistic
yeah.
nowadays. There's no actual content. Everything is, oh, what's the latest Snapchat video?
Yeah.
What's Kim Kardashian wearing?
Yeah.
You're very right. And that's like, that's part of the problem that we live in. Again, nothing wrong with social media, but you can't let that play a factor in like a more serious issue. And honestly, at this point right now, we're going to take a quick fiver. I want to thank you both for talking about this subject. It's a really important subject, really touchy, just really fragile. And it's definitely what needs to be talked about, because, like, I mean, the truth hurts. And like, this is where we are at this point with our country. And we're at the point where it's like, hey, like, we have someone who's qualified to do this presidential job and someone who's not. And right now, they're both up in the air for president. So I appreciate you two for coming on.
Thanks
DJ
for having
Beefcake
us.
And
thank
Olivia.
You.
Olivia, you definitely have a knack for coming on the radio. I hope you stick to it some more.
I'll try.
You did a really good, you did a fantastic job. You're more than welcome to come on My Two Cents with Captain Quality as much as you want. Before you head out, any quick shout-outs at all to anyone?
Thank you, Stu, for dragging me out here. It was
Stu,
fun.
Stu, good call, man. Good call. She did a great job.
It was fun. I hope to be back again.
No, anytime you want.
Keep on this topic or many more.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Olivia. We'll be right back with My Two Cents with Captain Quality at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much.
Well, she's a rich girl. And she don't try to hide it. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. And he's a poor boy. Empty as a pocket now. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na,
ta-na-na,
ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Sing ta-na-na,
ta-na-na,
ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. On the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I'll please you.
Hello, 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 and we're back. It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. You're on the air with Captain Quality, and this is My Two Cents on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And during the break, I was just talking to DJ Beefcake and Olivia about, hey, like, what's going on? Like, I'm going to talk about Pitch, the TV show, new hit show on Fox, association with the MLB. And I was just going to talk about that with DJ Beefcake because she's a female athlete. And again, I wanted her perspective on this TV show. And Olivia lights up and says, "Oh my God, Pitch! I love it. I watch it. It's a Thursday night show. I'm like, I'm like, do you want to stay and talk about it? I'd love for you to stay and talk about it." She's like, "Yeah, for sure. That's awesome." So Olivia's still hanging on. I love it. We're still with DJ Beefcake, and so Pitch just started airing on Fox Thursday nights. It's on tomorrow, second episode. And again, to reiterate, Olivia's loving it right now. It's about the young pitchers who adjust to life in the spotlight after making history as the first woman to she's the first, you know, female to play in the major leagues. You know, she's called like the Jackie Robinson for, you know, female athletes, you know, for females, just because, you know, Jackie Robinson, for those of you who somehow don't know, first African-American to play in the MLB, and now here she is on this TV show, Ginny Baker, I believe the character's name is, and she's the first female, she's a pitcher for the Padres. It's really cool. If you watch the trailer, I mentioned earlier the way Fox has it set up with the MLB, the announcing, the show setup, it's almost like you're, like, when the scene comes to a point where she's playing in the game or a game, it's almost as if it looks like there's certain cuts and spiffs of the show where it looks like you're watching an MLB game because they have everything official. They have the Fox, they have the baseball logo, the MLB little score thing in the bottom corner of the TV screen where it says, you know, San Diego, you know, one run, or this team, like this run, and pitch count. So it's super cool. The show's looking great. And I know there's a lot of controversy online. You know, there's been the pilot episode did do very well. And right now, but a lot of controversy comes up is, hey, can the premise hold on its own two feet because of the fact that people might think, hey, like, it's never going to happen. Like, why watch a show about something that, I mean, again, with all the stuff that goes on, I mean, you watch shows like Breaking Bad, like, hey, I'm sure, I mean, like, stuff like that's so far-fetched. Again, fantastic show, but, like, it brings up another, like, feminist, like, female argument, like, hey, like, this is a woman in sports, like, this is the one reason people are saying there's any controversy. When there's so many shows out there they can make that argument about. So we look at the show right now about the female, about Ginny Baker pitching in the MLB, and then it goes on to say, hey, like, can this show hold its own two feet on a humongous network, like, praise on its television shows, and will it last, honestly? And right now we have Olivia, who, so she was ecstatic when I mentioned the show, so I'm assuming she watched the pilot episode last Thursday, and tomorrow night will be the next episode. So Olivia, you watched the first episode of Pitch, the pilot. I've been following it along ever since I saw the first trailer. So how have you, how did you like it?
I loved it.
I love to hear it.
I'm Cuban, if you guys didn't know that out there. And baseball is a huge part of us. It just is. Baseball, Americans have football. I have baseball.
Love it.
And
I love
it. Being...
If you don't let me ask you, are you full Cuban?
I am full Cuban. Love it. Well, Cuba's a melting pot.
Okay.
That's a different story. They have...
That's like saying, are you full American? But you can be like so many different
places.
Yeah.
Okay, I was born in Cuba. I was there, raised for a minute. But the show is just so interesting because first of all, the leading character, she is beautiful.
She is. No, yeah. Kylie Bunbury. Yeah. Yes, the actress.
Great skin
Kylie
tone. Bunbury.
I know. She is gorgeous. But she also has skills. And what's interesting about this is a woman in an all-men society.
No, of course. Yeah.
And the way that she handles herself is incredible. And it shows that women can stick up for themselves. And in a sense, this is a feminist movement show. Because it's pushing the boundaries of a woman can and can't do.
It's like if there was a TV show before Jackie Robinson was playing baseball about the black guy playing in the MLB. And now, of course, back then that wasn't going to happen at all. Again, TV shows also weren't as big of a thing. But it's like, if you get the concept, though, it's like, hey, like, it's maybe not so far-fetched after all. Like, I mean, we have women doing so much right now. We're getting on the cusp of having a female president.
Exactly.
It's a huge deal. That's it's not anything. I know there's a lot of controversy out there about, you know, hey, is this realistic? Could a woman pitch in the MLB? I mean, it's like very few men can. I mean, it's such a big deal. And I remember watching part of the show, and it's not as they make it a little less far fetched than some people may want to perceive about it. Because I remember there's one scene where she's talking to her father, and he says, you know, a woman will never throw as hard as a man. It's just biologically, it's not going to happen. So it teaches her how to throw. I think it was a screwball. And he teaches her how to throw like just a perfect one. It's just so unstoppable. And that's like her niche for pitching isn't like, hey, I'm pitching, you know, 107, like it's my job. Like her niche is that she can throw this unhittable, quote unquote, pitch. It's like her signature pitch almost. And I think that kind of like adds more validity to the show itself, because it's like, it's not like you have this like miracle prodigy pitcher who's this girl who's defying the law. Again, like, not saying there's not strong female athletes, but, like,
there definitely is a difference in...
No, of course, it's strength.
In what a man can do and a girl can do.
No, of course,
that
exactly. That's not a sexist thing to say. That's like, a biological...
They just do it in different ways.
Yeah, and of course. And that, so it's, I think that being stated in the show, like, right off the bat, it just adds so much validity to me. When I hear, like, I see, like, the dad's talking to the daughter. He's saying, yeah, like, you're not going to be throughout their... Again, like, the show is not about how the girl can go out there and pitch, you know, 100-mile-per-hour fastball nearly every time she throws it, because that's like that. I mean, any human being that can do that is going to go down as like some insane MLB pitcher. So again, I thought that was a really cool point to bring up when I saw that part. And so throughout the show, like, Olivia, you caught on to it. I mean, what other ways do you feel like that was such a big movement for, like, you know, the feminist movement in society?
I think the other part would be, well, there are two parts I'm going to talk about.
No, of course, go for
it. The first one, though, is the dad is trying to get his son, so her brother, to play baseball, and the kid says, I don't want to, and just runs inside the house.
Really?
And she catches the ball, and the dad says, okay, honey, throw it to me. And she's little. And
so he says, flashback scene when they're, yeah, like, little kid, yeah.
And he's just holding the glove, like, by his chest, and he's like, come on, baby,
like,
you
can
do this.
No pads on, just like, the glove, yeah, by himself in the backyard.
And he's standing a couple feet away from her, and she just swings it.
I love
across
it.
The backyard.
I love it.
And he looked at her, and I think in that moment he realized, okay, I have something.
Yeah,
here.
I got to work with this. Yeah.
And it's like, usually it's like, hey, it's like the sun. It's like, it's, yeah, because like, so from every, yeah, sports movie ever, it's, or almost every sports movie ever, it's like, hey, the father, son, like, wow, this kid can throw, this kid can do this. Like, hey, he's got a good jump shot. But it's cool, you see that, hey, like the brother wants no part of it. You know, the man, the boy, like, he wants no part of doing it. Yeah. And yet it's the girl with this, you know, this knack for pitching the ball. I think that's definitely a huge pivotal scene.
Yeah, and I think the other scene would be when she gets to the stadium and she's meeting all the guys, and the coach slaps her butt.
I did see that. I was gonna bring that up.
What?
The coach? Well, before the coach, the
I was gonna bring
the captain of the team.
He walks by her. Yeah.
Walks by her and just slaps her butt, and she turns around. She says, "You are not going to slap my butt." And he says, "Well, I do it to all the guys on the team. So if you're gonna be on this team, I'm gonna slap your butt."
Oh, man.
But it wasn't, again, to reiterate, not that I'm, but it wasn't so much, it wasn't like a groping butt squeeze.
No, it was
it's like when you walk, like, for those of you who play team sports, not condoning the action, of course.
Well,
but I know for a lot of sports, beefcake with volleyball, I see it.
I definitely slap some butts here and there, for sure. But I think that's kind of disrespectful.
Exactly. So he's kind of saying, I want to hear your opinion on this.
Yeah, he's kind of saying, oh, well, you're on all guys' team, we're going to treat you equal. But it's a double standard, because she is a woman, so you do have to treat her differently. But you treat her equally in dignity, not in, like, physical interaction.
So you're against the concept of, like, the butt slap. Like,
yeah, well, not in general, because
In
this case, I think it was a pretty disrespectful, and he was trying to do, like, it was a double standard. He was trying to flip it back on her. well, hey, you're an all, like the only girl coming into this all male team. We're gonna treat you like one of the, like, you're gonna have to like buckle down like the rest of us. But it's different because she is. It's not like she's the exact same as them.
No, of course not. So not even like, again, not my personal opinion aside. So not even in like a playful manner. Again, so I know it's like a harassment issue. But like, let's say like a cool like play happens. Like it's like everyone. I mean, I know especially in baseball, I see it all the time. I don't get it personally. But there's a lot of, you know, butt, like slapping around in baseball, almost more so than, like, a volleyball team. So you still think, regardless, that that's just, like, it makes sense for, like, in that scenario for her to be, like, don't do that, like.
I know that as if I were a girl in that situation, I would be offended because like I don't think.
It's not like she's on the street and, like, some guy, random guy goes, hey, what's up, baseball player, like
yeah, but I don't think his intentions were, hey, like, you're part of the team, like, hey, let's go, guys. It was, hey, I'm going to treat you like I want to.
I'm just being a disrespectful thing. The guy is just being a dick for the sake of being a dick.
Almost, yeah, I think that's what his intentions were.
And
but the good thing was that she did slap his butt back.
She did.
She got him good.
Oh, man.
So
what did he say to that when she slapped him back?
Oh, nothing. He just looked at her and smiled. And then towards the end of the episode, the coach slapped her butt.
But there wasn't a... Then what's the reaction there?
She kind of just, like, looked back and just, like, walked off. Because she was, at the end, I guess she assimilated to the team and she was like, okay, I'm going to roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when that happened, in my mind,
yeah,
if that was me, I wouldn't be able to roll with the punches.
Really?
I don't think so either.
But if you look at a lot of the stuff that, like, you know, did either one of you see the movie 42 at all?
Yeah, I have.
So you look at the stuff that Jackie Robinson totally went through when he first entered, like, the major leagues. And you say, like, hey, I wouldn't be able to rule with the punches. But, like, I feel like a lot of that's, again, a huge different scenario, of course. But there's definitely stuff that he went through that he had to, where he had to rule with the punches. So in this show, like, so do you think that, like, it's just kind of fair to make that, it's kind of, like, different to make that statement, like, hey, I wouldn't rule with the punches almost, or, like.
I'm not saying I wouldn't personally. I just think it'd be so hard to be facing all that negativity from all, like, your whole team. Because I know when I play on a team, I'm not successful and the team's not successful.
Okay,
if we don't have each other's back. But that's just the volleyball. It's such a
dependent sport. That's why the show, I feel like, is just gaining so much interest, mm-hmm. whether it's positive or negative. And I think a lot of it is more positive than negative. But because of the fact that it's so different. Like, again, I've seen, like, little spigots on, like, commercials where, like, I forgot what it was. And it was just a commercial where they say, like, the day where there's a woman playing in the MLB. It was probably a commercial from 2 years ago. And I was referencing, like, I think it was an Intel commercial saying, like, this technology is going to be here or something. So it was something of that sort when the woman plays in the MLB. And it was for, like, it was like either iPads or I think it was Intel. And it's just funny that commercial came out 2 years ago. And now here's this whole series based off the concept of a woman playing in the MLB. And it's just one of those things you think about. Like, I mean, it's a big deal now. And that's why it's gaining so much interest. Because it's so different.
Do you guys think that this show will have any impact on the actual MLB itself? Or do you think that...
Well, it's just, like, it's kind of different because, like, I kind of looked at the show and it kind of reminded me of the whole Monet Davis Little League World Series 2014. And for those who don't know, she was a pitcher from the Little League World Series team on Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And she is still, like, a very talented baseball player. And she wasn't, you know, she's not pitching softball style. Like, she's pitching baseball style. She's in the Little League World Series. Like, she was phenomenal. And I'm pretty sure she's on the cover of a Sports Illustrated magazine, which is, like, just gangbusters. That's insane. That's phenomenal. Like, great for her. And the show kind of reminded me of that. Like, hey, like, here's this young girl who's pitching in, like, the top of her league at her certain age group. You know, Little League World Series, humongous deal. And it kind of showed me a little foreshadowing of, could Monet Davis grow up and be this girl, this Baker, Ginny Baker, portrayed in the show Pitch, and can she be that? And it kind of, and then you bring up the question, like, oh, like, will the MLB, will this impact the MLB at all? And I think it's just, like, you have to wait and see, because, again, they're not going to let someone, again, they're not going to let anyone join the league just because they want to. It's professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just hard to tell because, like, you have to find this pitcher that can actually, like, have the potential to strike out a professional. If you find a pitcher who's a female that can strike out, like, a professional baseball player, like, consistently, I personally believe, like, if I'm a manager of, like, a team, and regardless of how good my team is or not, but if the talent's talent, And if you find a picture, regardless of what their gender is or whatever they are, you know, ethnicity, religion, you know, everything aside, because like it's more about like, hey, like if you find someone who can, you know, strike out a professional athlete, why not have them? But like that's the case that we're looking for. It has to, that has to be brought up. It's not going to be like, hey, like here's this female pitcher who's pretty good, but she can't strike out any. She can't strike out any, you know, professional baseball players. Like, that case has to come up where, hey, here's this pitcher who happens to be a female, but she's, you know, she's top notch. So she can strike. She can hang with, you know, a major leaguer, and she's going to be contributing. She's not gonna, it's like that's where the situation arises.
I think that's also part of the reason for the show in the first place. People are like hoping to bring women out of the woodworks and like show them that they can win and be successful in a man's world, and that kind of mirrors to this election in a way, you know, like that a woman coming in,
that's all going on right now. Yeah, exactly. It's a big deal. Like, society's changing. Mm-hmm. It's like it's changing, like it's a positive thing. Again, like not that the woman should join the MLB because she's a woman, but if she has it, if I'm an MLB manager, my team, regardless how good my team's doing, but if I see anyone, I don't care who they are, I don't care if the kid's just one of those, you know, 19-year-old Dominican Republic kids who can pitch a ball against their job, I'm going to say, hey, like, do you want to come play for, like, come try out for my team, at least try out. Like, maybe not necessarily, hey, join my team, but come pitch with my guys or some of my, you know, my minor leaguers and see if you can hang with them. And if so, like, what's working out from there? I feel like that's not, in my opinion, that's not out of the question at all. If you find that female niche pitcher who can hang with it. Again, like, that's my opinion. Like, if I'm the manager and I find someone who's a female and she can pitch like that, you know, why not? I'm sure MLB has their own sanctions on that. But, again, talent's talent. And I feel like if that person's available, you could definitely fight for that to happen.
Yeah, I think this is just planting the seed.
No, I think it's...
It's definitely planting the seed in people's mind. And it's just... It's always new to see women taking a different role in society, taking...
Or especially in TV shows.
Exactly, yeah. They're huge in TV shows. They're big time.
Kerry Washington was the first major lead in the show Scandal.
Oh, Shonda Rhimes, who writes Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. I'm a huge fan. The Perfect Catch. The Perfect Catch, so good. Yeah. She all has these strong female leads in every role, and they have different genders, different races. They exude so much confidence.
Yeah.
And she was one of the first writers to really give women that strong female like role, and like
that they deserve.
I think it's like bouncing off now. We're like, we have this new show, The Pitch, and we have this election, and the feminism is on the rise, and it's awesome, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's awesome because if you also think about it, Grey's Anatomy has been on for 13 seasons.
No, I'm well aware.
They just started their 13th.
I know, and everyone's
a big fan of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. So.
She could kill off all the characters, and it's still a good show. I don't even know how.
Haven't they been killing off characters?
They've been killing off characters since the beginning.
They killed off McDreamy. I don't even know
how the show's still going without him, but she's such a good writer. I should write her a letter in appreciation.
I love it.
Because you think she's going to do one thing, and then the thing you think, it's the complete opposite. I didn't even know you could have 3 plane crashes in one show and still be successful. Like, you keep killing off the characters, but I still love you.
Yeah. And the president of our school is a woman.
Yes.
And that is awesome.
Yeah, Marcy, shout out to President Marcy.
That's definitely a positive direction that we're going in general. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I love having you two come on and talk about it. Like Kate talked about, we talked about women's equality in sports last week.
Yeah.
With Beefcake and DJ Gaines. And I honestly appreciate you two coming on to talk about The Pitch and the debate with me. I had a really fun time. And you guys, again, you two, we're wrapping up right now, are always more than welcome to come on My Two Cents with Captain Quality.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Thank you. Before
we wrap up, want to toss in a quick little Tim Tebow moment. One of my favorite all-time football players hit his first professional home run today with the New York Mets instructional team. First pitch, first home run. Huge Tebow guy, Heisman back in 07. You know, big Denver Bronco. I mean, not that I'm a huge Denver Bronco fan, but, you know, Tebow's my guy. Hmm. But Tebow till I die. And also, just for a fun fact, last week, when he was signed recently to the New York Mets, and last week his jersey was number one. It was the number one seller on MLB.com. It's just funny because it's like he's not even a part of the official team yet, but like because it's Tim Tebow, he's Tim Tebow. Like his jersey was number one on MLB.com, like New York Mets, Tim Tebow, like of all people, with what's going on right now. So it's just like it's kind of cool to talk about. But yeah, I just wanted to get that quick little blurb in there because I had it written down. But again, back at you two, appreciate you two coming on. Like I said, Olivia, Beefcake, you guys are always more than welcome to come on My Two Cents. I had a really fantastic time talking, debate, and pitch with you guys. Because, I mean, yeah, I love getting different perspectives on it. I mean, we could also, if we had to, we could talk for like another hour, I feel like. And it would just be like, it'd be so smooth. But I know we're all tired.
Yeah, it was just awesome coming on. Thank you, everyone. The elections are in 40 days. That's when you will go
register
out
to vote,
and vote.
Guys. Register.
Please register.
Register, okay.
I'm not kidding.
Everyone register. If you guys are lucky, you might get a Captain Quality to register too. So.
Yeah,
40 Captain
days.
Quality will register.
Yes,
I promise
he will.
You that I will get him to register. Because it's his civic duty.
You can try.
And he loves America.
I do love America.
You have
Mexico,
to vote.
Though,
you are
so.
Going to vote. It
you
is
love
in
America.
40 days, 3 hours, just, 1 minute,
I love
and 29
it. I just
seconds.
A little app. I love it. I love it. Okay, you guys are. I'm on the cusp now. I'm actually thinking about it. But
you should. I got so juiced about talking about it. I was like, I need to vote. I need to
that.
Vote.
I love
we'll
it.
Bake you cookies if you vote.
That's. I mean, I'm not really a big.
Olivia
cookie.
Makes some mean cookies though.
I'm kind of a diet
do.
Right now, but okay, I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. You're starting to vote.
I love it. Any quick shout outs for you two before we go? I know Beefcake. We got some.
Shout out to my roommate Brittany Letigue.
Yeah, she's really
Brit.
Cool.
It's my
big
friend.
Fan. Anything you want to talk about school-wise? Any games coming up?
Oh, yeah. We have a game this Saturday at 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
versus Hawaii Pacific.
Ooh, okay.
It should be a pretty good game. They're very good.
And for those of you who weren't at the game on Monday night, I was there. Dominican Volleyball walloped BYU Hawaii 3-1, and it was really cool. My shout-out to one of my top favorite players, number 9, Kat Thompson, had a fantastic game. Big fan. Captain Quality, probably her number 1 fan. DJ Beefcake herself also had a pretty phenomenal game.
Oh, thank you.
You know, she definitely didn't want me to say anything, but I had
Please
to.
Please stop.
I actually saw DJ Gaines in there blushing. For a little bit. She is blushing a little bit. But DJ Gaines wasn't there. She was doing her thing. So it's cool. I love supporting our Dominican sports. Come out there, guys. This Friday also, if you want to come support Dominican lacrosse, we have our second annual Dominican lacrosse wingathon.
Oh, no.
So find your favorite Dominican lacrosse player, and there's a bunch of them to choose from, trust us, and donate to their wingathon. You donate a certain amount, X amount of money for every per wing they eat, and the donations can be as small as 25 cents if you want to. Find your nearest Dominican lacrosse player. It means a ton to us, and come out and support Dominican athletics. We got volleyball this weekend.
And if you can't come and support, tune in to Radio, Penguin Radio, because they will be doing a live broadcast as well.
Of course. Yeah, we'd love to have you guys hear our support on the radio. So you've been tuning into My Two Cents with Captain Quality, joined by DJ Beefcake and Olivia on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Have a splendid Wednesday night, and stay tuned for the special segment we have coming up next. That doesn't usually happen every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We have DJ Jazz with the premiere doing a makeup show, and you guys are tuning. You guys should stay tuned in for a really good treat. Talks about movies, and this guy knows what he's talking about. DJ Jazz. So I appreciate it, you guys. Have a nice night. I encourage you to stay tuned. Stay safe. Love you all. This is Captain Quality. Out.